You know, one of the things that we've all had trouble with through the years, and one of the things that we've talked a lot about, is the transformation of our mind or our soul or our heart, that God is bringing about that transformation. In fact, the Bible tells us that the only place that we have ever been alienated from God is in our mind. And I found a verse of scripture that God brought across my thinking in Proverbs 6:3. The word says, it's from the Amplified, "Roll your works, your deeds, your acts, the things that you do upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him." And this is what I like. "He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed." We are always preaching a do religion, what we have to do. Romans 12:1-2, we talk about the conforming, or the bringing of our mind into, to not be confashioned after this present age, but to be transformed, to be retrained by the renewal of your mind. And immediately we cry out, "Oh God, how can we do that? We've tried, and man has all kind of formulas and success, things that he wants to tell you how to do it." But I like the idea that God says, "Roll your works upon Him. Roll the things that you do, the things that you act upon. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. And He will cause your thoughts to be agreeable to His will." Even the final area, or the final frontier, that is being transformed just before the manifestation of the sons of God, God is going to telling us, "I'm going to do that for you too." You know, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus made the way. God made the way by allowing His Son to be crucified for the sins of the whole world. God made a way for salvation, to restore man back to Himself. And the fact of the matter is that God created man in His image and in His likeness. And of all, God understands us as no one else understands us. He knows exactly the things that we can and we cannot do. And we know that in the Old Testament, when He was making the covenant with Abraham, that He actually took man out of the equation. When they were supposed to walk between the pieces of meat to seal the covenant together with God, God put Abraham to sleep. God knew that man could not keep that covenant. So God said, "I'm not only going to write this covenant, but I'm also going to guarantee that this covenant is going to be fulfilled on man's part." And over again, He has brought Himself into the presence of man with revelation and understanding through the years of the messages that He wants to restore. We can look back through history and see all the things that He has brought to restore to man, to bring us into a closer relationship with Him. But none of those were what we had to do. You know, it wasn't us doing that. Man sought Him for revival. Man sought Him for renewal. But it was God's presence in the midst of man's coming together that brought the word of revelation and brought man to the understanding. And as I was reading Preston Eby, he talked about the fact that every time that God had a move in the earth, man walked in that for a little while, and then he began to make his own denominations or his own churches or his own theology around that new revelation and say, we've got to have leadership, we've got to have somebody to tell us what to do. But I believe that we have seen a new era, a new age in what God has done in a people. In that, I do not feel that we have a desire in our hearts to build a kingdom or to create a denomination or to build a building or to have a ministry after ourselves. God has in the last 20 years called out a people with a new vision of heart, a willing, and brought them to a willingness to depend on God, on what He does and not what we do. And I believe that's what He's saying to us this morning, is that this last frontier, this last area of our lives, that God is renovating, that God is bringing into agreement with Himself, that is being transformed. He said, roll it on me, commit it to me, and I will cause your thoughts to be agreeable with my will. God is transforming our mind, our understanding with the word of revelation. As He reveals His word in the midst of us, that word becomes a part of us. So many times God reveals a word, a revelation, and man begins to run in that revelation and trying to walk in that revelation within himself. But God says, no, you've got to wait upon me. Allow the Spirit to take the word of revelation and make it become a part of you. We are to live out of that revelation. Living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh availeth nothing. If there's not an anointing on that God gives us, then it's nothing. But God is allowing us to walk out what He's doing. It's been about a month ago the Lord spoke to me to begin to live out of what He has already showed us. You know, the things that we already know. I mean, there's a lot of things that we know. Simply loving one another. Simply no condemnation, no judgment. Beginning to allow those things to be a part of our everyday life. This world that we're living in is not going to read the Bible. The only Bible they're going to read is you and I. The only word they're going to see is the life that we live and the things that we bring forth out of that spiritual realm. We see a world that, more especially our nation, that in the last 6 years has turned dramatically, thank you, away from the things and the morality of God. Even to the fact of trying to destroy the very foundation of Christian principles. And even so, we have seen churches that have even gone along with the things that are happening in our day and time. But I'm going to tell you, as in the days of the prophet when he said, I and only I alone am left, that loves you and praises you, Lord. And God said, I have yet 7,000 that have not bowed. There are people all over this world this morning that have been through similar things that we have been through, similar teachings as we have been taught. that have come to the same spiritual conclusions that we have come into, and have walked in the same pathway that we have walked. That God has a people in the earth today who have not bowed at the altar of this world, and who have not submitted to the pressures to change that which God has put within them. Because the word that God has put within us over the last 25 and 30 years has been so established in us that there's no way we can turn our back on that. Because we know that there is nothing behind us to go back to but death and destruction. The day is dawning. The sun is arising to the noonday position, that God's children are beginning to see the light of the revelation of God and who He is. And He is touching our understanding. He is conquering that thing that is between our two ears and bringing it into agreement with His Word. Beloved, I am persuaded this morning that as we see the reality of who we are in God, that we are His children, that we are the sheep of His pasture, that we are created in His image and in His likeness, that we are His dwelling place, that His Word totally and fully dwells within us, and that what He says is life and reality, that when our understanding begins to line up with what God is saying, we're going to see things happen. We're going to see things happen. You know, Jesus was that. Jesus knew who He was. And beloved, as He is, so are we in this earth today. We are heirs and joint heirs with Him. And we have the same power dwelling within us that dwelt in Jesus. The same anointing that dwelt in the apostles dwell in you and I. You know, I've been reading the book of Acts again, and I stand amazed when I think of what Peter, when Peter was on the rooftop, and God lowered the sheet down with all of those unclean animals and said, "Peter, eat." What a shock that had to be to Peter's life. When he said, "Not so, Lord, nothing unclean has touched my lips." And God said, "Don't call what I've made unclean. Arise and eat." And He said, "There's three men at the gate waiting for you. Go and do not question." And I think of Peter standing in Cornelius' house, a Gentile's house, and proclaiming the Word of God. And as he spoke it, the Gentiles, who were considered the scum of the earth, who were never considered to be a part of God's plan for salvation, who were out of everything that the Jews ever had, or any blessings the Jews ever had, here were these Gentiles began to speak with tongues. Can you imagine the enormity of that scene right there, when Peter heard them speak in tongues as he had? And he came to the conclusion, he said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And even with the enormity of that action that and that experience that Peter went through with, Peter still did not turn fully from the law. Because there was a time when Peter had been with the Gentiles, and those came from Jerusalem, he separated himself from it. And you know, you want to think about Paul. You know, we read these stories in the Bible and we just pass over them. But they're ministry to us. Paul was a man breathing out threatenings against those that believed in Jesus Christ. He had no use for them. He persecuted them. He went to the high priest and he got papers to go to Damascus to put them in jail, to persecute them, whatever it took. He considered them as heretics. And yet, on that road to Damascus, in one instant, "Lord, what would you have me do?" You think of the enormous change in that instant that took place in Paul's life. And also when he went to Damascus and God spoke to Ananias, think what God said to Ananias. "This man must suffer many things for my name." Beloved, I tell you this morning that we are in the hands of an almighty God. That we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world was ever laid. That we were called to that we're walking in right now. Before we were ever born, God knew us. He knew what it would take to bring us where we are this morning. He's brought change upon change upon change in our lives. In my instant, He brought me out of the law. He brought me out of organized religion, something that I would never have come out on my own when I look back at what He done in each of our lives. What He did in my life is no greater than what He's done in each of our lives. It is because we are His chosen to be a part of what this end time is going to, what is going to happen in this end time. Are we any more special than His child that is sitting in the pew this morning in organized church? Absolutely not. God has different vessels for different works. But He has always had a first fruit people that He has always put on the forefront of that which He is doing. And He's always cultivated them. He's always worked with them. He's always ministered to them and ministered through them. And the difference is in this time is that His purpose for those who have been called to be His elect sons in this hour, He has placed within each of us a teachable heart and no desire to build a kingdom for ourselves. Don't you think for one instant that the way we feel today has anything in this world to do with us. We didn't choose it to be that way. If it wasn't time for God to manifest His sons in the earth, beloved, we'd be building the buildings and starting another denomination on the same principles that has happened for over 2,000 years. But I tell you this morning, because we are entering into that day that God is going to manifest His sons, He has placed within us no desire to build a kingdom upon this earth. But He has placed within the people of God for this hour the kingdom of God, and realizing that it is not of this world, that we are His temple, that no temple built with hands will He ever live in again, that we are His dwelling place, that He has called forth for this hour to be a part of the manifestation of the sons of God upon the earth. And He has spent years teaching, leading, guiding us with His eyes, bringing us to this place to understand all of our inability to do any change within ourselves. And He says, "Put it on me." He says, "I'll cause your thoughts to be agreeable with my will." I am bringing you into that place where that you will see me as I am and know me in the fullness of who I am. He is bringing us there. He is doing the work. He has caused us to cease from our labors. The world will look and say, shake their head. The Christian world would look and say, there's nothing there. But I tell you this morning that we are the David down on the backside of the pasture that Jesse don't even think to call forward, think that's worthy to call forward to before the prophet. We are the David that this world has no idea what is said. We're the Patterkag that is just getting ready to erupt onto the scene of this world. Because God, this world is only going to go so far. And in that moment, God's going to begin to manifest His sons. And they're going to begin to stand and speak the Word of God into creation. And beloved, with all of the work that He's done in the midst of each of us, all of the years of preparation that He's spent upon us, all the things that we've been through, all of the crisis, all of the night seasons, all of the storms, everything that has happened has brought us to the place of knowing that we do not within ourselves have the ability to do one thing for God. But we come to Him in utter abandonment of all that we are, and we say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. He is the hope of glory. Our eyes have been turned upon Him, and we are beholding Him as our only hope, our only salvation, our only deliverance. And we know that in that hour, the words that we speak will be the words that the Father speaks through us. And we know that when we speak, the results will be there, and He will perform the words that He is speaking. Beloved, this is a glorious hour that we're living in. I know so many times in this natural man, we look at it, and we look at it as they did when they were building the temple one time. And He said, what do you think? This is nothing compared to Solomon's temple. But He said, the glory of the latter will be greater than that of the former. Beloved, the temple that is being built without hands, the living stones that are being placed one upon another for the habitation of God will be more glorious than any temple of silver and gold that had stone that has ever been built upon this earth. God's handiwork is greater than anything that man has ever built. And it will be an expression of who God is. Jesus came. He walked on the earth. He ministered. He did great works. He finished the course that He was to finish. Paul said, I have finished my course. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. He came to the end of all that and did what God had commissioned him to do. Beloved, we are going to finish that God set and proposed for us to finish before the foundation of the earth. Fear not this morning, for we are going to finish everything that God proposed for us to finish in our lives. For our lives to be an expression of Himself in the earth. And God's doing it. God's doing it. He knew man couldn't do it. He took man out of the equation. Beloved, you're the individual coming out of the wilderness and out of the night season and out of the storms, leaning upon your beloved, because you've come to the place that we know that within this flesh, Paul said, there's nothing good. There's nothing I can do. I can't do it. And we've come to the place where we realize that everything is that we in Him, we live, we move, and we have our being. That He is all that we are, and that He is the only hope that we have. And so everything we have, all of our eggs have been placed in His basket. There's nothing else. As I said, when they started walking away after he had fed the 5,000, after he'd done all of his work, and he said, "Except you eat my body, eat my flesh, and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me." And they all began to walk away, and he looked at his disciples and said, "You going also?" And looked at him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Hallelujah. You have Hakanamohushikaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have the words of life. We have come to the place of abandonment in each one of us, that we know that the God that we walk with has the words of eternal life and is the only hope that we have in this hour and in this world that we live in. So in Him we trust. In Him we place our faith. And we know that He will perform every word that He has said concerning you and I. And He will bring it to fruition, and He will manifest His sons, and all the earth shall know that He is God, and that there is none that is like unto Him. Amen.